The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for all
I do. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and the opportunity to hear your word afresh. Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost will speak to and through your servant today to your people to give us what you have for us to hear and to know. Lord, we pray that when this word shall have been finished being preached, that the Spirit of the living God will have moved in the place and in your people and giving us what we need to move further into the things of God. We take authority over the enemy and every negative thought and word and deed that he tries to bring against you, your word, or your people. We bless you now, God, and we ask that you would have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody give a great shout to the Lord today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I am drawn to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32 is the complete story, but verses 11 through 17, I'm going to have us read. And I want to lift out a few principles. Our time is far spent, but I want to lift out a few principles, especially for our young people. And I want to talk to you today from the subject, some things sin won't tell you. Some things sin won't tell you. All right. Rita, will you begin Luke 11, 15 chapter, verse 11.
Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Verse 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15. And when he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat, bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is no unfamiliar story to the body of Christ. Most of us know this story as the prodigal son. This story been shared through Sunday school, Bible lessons, sermonic presentations, and skits in the Church of God for many, many years. But even though we are familiar with the story, not many of us are intimately aware of the points that are so necessary for us to understand to avoid the pitfalls like the prodigal son had. What is interesting about this story is it starts off as an average story. A man had two sons. He loved both of those sons, and he was no doubt a wealthy man according to historians. And he divided up his living with his two sons. According to the Jewish tradition, the eldest son would receive a double portion. And the younger son in this story goes to his father when he reaches adulthood and tells his father, "Father, I really want to branch out on my own. I want to see the world. I want to experience life in another culture, in another place, in an area that I'm not familiar with. I want to spread my wings and I want to fly." Now that's in the understanding of this text. He's saying to his father, he wants to live life on his own terms. One of the things you have to admire about the young man is that he goes to him in his zeal and his honesty, and he says, "I don't want to wait till you die to get my portion. I want my portion now, while I'm young, while I can go out and do what I want to do and enjoy myself." The father said, "Okay, no problem." And he divided up his living and he gave his son his portion. Now, a man by the name of Ara Zacharias said there are three things, at least, that sin will do to you. The first of which we find in verse 13. Read verse 13 again.
Verse 13. "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living."
Okay. Verse 13 reveals what R. Zacharias said, that sin will take you farther then you want to go. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. How many times have you made up your mind you were going to do a little something, but you wasn't going all the way? Whatever that was, whatever you were going to dibble and dabble in, whatever you were going to attempt to do, wherever you were going to enjoy, you didn't plan for it to be as expansive as it had become. You just wanted a little taste. You can sit here and act holier than thou if you wanna. But I know all of us have been in that place some point in time in our lives. Well, you know, sometime when you're wrong, among holy people, they think it's all got to be bad. How many times have you had one piece of cake and it was so good you said, "I'm through"? And then you're talking about, "Let me just get a little pinch." Well, this side of my stomach right over here in the corner is calling for another little piece of that. And before you know it, you know, I'm just going to get a scoop of ice cream. Before you know, you done ate a whole half a gallon. It ain't all have to be, you know, in some moral or context. I'm just talking about life. You know, and that's one of the reasons why the Bible says yield not to sin. Because when you yield to sin, sin does not want you to stop when it gets good to you. Sin wants to make sure you go all the way. yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. You've got to understand, some things you just can't handle, so you don't even play with them. And so one of the things that this young man did not realize, because sin didn't tell him, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you a long way from home. I'm going to take you where nobody knows your name and nobody's glad you came. Yeah. I'm not going to bring you to the Cheers bar in your neighborhood. I won't take you to a place where you can let your hair down, where you can be you. You can let your inner instincts out, where you can let your wings out and fly and don't have to worry about nobody saying anything to you. You see, that's what the devil wants. He wants you to be so free that you'll be willing to do anything. Anything. And what happens is he has to take you away from everything that's familiar to you. Everything that will remind you of who you are and whose you are. He has to take you in unfamiliar territory and let you see other people doing the things that you desire to do. And so it's easier for him to tempt you in a place where everybody's doing it than in a place where nobody's doing it. He makes you recognize, listen, that it's easier to sin in the dark than it is in the light. And that's one of the reasons both crimes of passion and crimes of great ill happen at night than they do in the day. Not to say they don't happen in the day, because they do. But the enemy has blocked the minds of folk and somehow given them a false sense of covering in the night. Far from home is what the enemy. How many of us have messed up because we've been far away from home? So the first thing you need to know, and sin won't tell you that, is it'll take you further than you want to go. If I'm preaching truth, say amen, somebody. Amen. The second thing that sin will do is found in the next verse. Verse 14, reader.
Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want.
Well, listen to this. Second thing sin won't tell you is that it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Cost you more. You see, people who are looking for what you have instead of your well-being or for true fellowship or friendship don't care what it takes to bring you into a place where it robs you, it takes from you, it breaks you down to the least common denominator. Sin wants you to spend everything you have in terms of your morals, in terms of your respect, in terms of your future hopes, your desires, your dreams. Sin wants you to give up on you. Spend everything you have having fun. So much so that when you recognize that you have nothing else to give, sin turns around and shows you it made a fool out of you. But you no longer have resources, so you are able to bounce back and start over again and redo things because it has robbed you of everything that was valuable in your life, and you become worthless to yourself. And so notice what the Bible says. He did not begin to be in want until he had spent all he had. Nobody would loan him anything. When he was in the club, he was big money grip. Drinks for everybody. Everybody in the club getting drinks. Free on me. All the girls wanted to be by him. Told him how good looking he was. How, you know, this, that, and the, all of that. Just getting his money. And then when all of his money was gone, the very folk he thought had befriended him, the very folk he was good to, the very folk he had given things to, were no longer there for him. And no man gave to him. He began to be in want. So the Bible makes clear to us that sin costs you more than what you want to pay. Why? Because, listen, the enemy's desire is to destroy you on every level. On every level. And one of the things that you need to know is, you know, money can't buy happiness. That's true enough. And money isn't everything. But don't be caught without it. You'll see there's a difference in life. You'll see there's a difference in what doors are open to you when you have money and when you don't have money. It's easier to get a bank loan when you got money sitting in the bank. When you've got a decision, do I want money from you or do I want to borrow it from myself? The interest rate even varies differently from borrowing their money versus borrowing your own money. It's a difference in how folk respect you as an individual when you have versus when you do not have. And it doesn't matter where you are when you have it or when you don't have it. And that was a part of his upbringing. He was from a royal family. He was used to having. That was a part of his lifestyle. Reared right, but went wrong. How many parents have sleepless nights, tearful nights, because they raised their children right, but their children decided to go wrong? Their children decided to run off to a far country and live a life and a lifestyle that was not within the keeping of their upbringing. But listen at this, parents, because there is some hope in the scripture here that tells you even when your child has made some of the worst mistakes, made some of the worst decisions, if you train them in the way that they ought to go, there's hope for them that they will return, for it's all over. Yeah. Listen at this. Verse 15, 16, and 17 reveals this third point of Ara Zacharias. Rita?
Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.
Amen. Now listen at this now. The third thing I need to tell you that sin won't tell you is that it will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. There's some of you in situations now, you know it's wrong. You know it's bad. You know you ought not be in it. But sin's got a lock on you, a grip on you. You've been knowing, you've been saying, I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to let this go. Look like another love TKO. You know that person doesn't have your heart. You know they don't really mean you any good. You've seen the difference. Promises at night are so easily made, but they begin to fade at the sight of day. You've discovered that what used to be ain't no more. That all of these things that you've experienced were warnings and signs that you were in the wrong place with the wrong person, but you still couldn't let go. So you hold on for the kid's sake, and you hold on for the mortgage's sake, and you hold on for this and for that sake, and you hold on for the friend's sake. But the truth of the matter is, you hold on because sin has a hold on you. You can't let it go because it won't let you go. And sin, listen to this, won't let you go till it's through with you. And when sin get through with you, nothing and nobody want to have anything to do with you. When sin has used you and robbed you and taken the best from you, stripped you of your hope, your desires, your goals, your dreams, your understanding, your intellect, all of your pursuits, all of the things that make you you and make you desire to be the best you can be. When sin has ripped and stripped all of that from you, and then you just lie there as if to say, I'm waiting on death because that's the only thing I've got coming to me. When nobody else wants you, isn't it good to know God still loves you? This man, listen at this. Now, this man is at this point. He is of a royal descent. This man ain't no trash. This man is somebody. This man has come from a family with riches and with respect and with status. And now he's in a far country, spent all of his money, and now he joins himself to a citizen of that country. Why? Because ain't no soup lines over there. Ain't no free meals over there. Here, the only way that he can get something, he can't get a free meal. The only way he can eat is if he goes and takes a job feeding pigs, swine or pigs. And no self-respecting Jew would take a job feeding swine that they saw Jesus cast demons in, and the demons took those swine and ran down a mountain, a peak down to the valley part and into the river and drowned themselves. And that was also a hoofed animal where they did not believe in having or touching or eating anything like that because of the Old Testament realities. So here he finds himself surrounded with reminders that you have failed. You failed. And not only have you failed, but you've fallen so low that you are on ground zero. So now his fine dining was the husks that the swine did eat. In other words, his food was slop. The food that they gave from the tables when they had finished their dining that they would give to the hogs, he would go through that food and find the best of it suitable for human consumption and eat that before he gave the rest of it to the pigs. And the Bible says, listen, and I just want to throw this out for free. Don't you can sit in here and act all high and mighty and say what you wouldn't do and how far you wouldn't go and you wouldn't take that and you wouldn't do that. But it's a strange thing that happens, a strange phenomena that happens to the psyche when survival mode kicks in. You'll be surprised what you will do, and you'll be surprised what you won't do. So it's good while things are good for you to sit up in here and act holier than thou and say, I never would do anything like this or that. Do you think the folk on Skid Row wanted to be there? Do you think president of CEO companies and people who have fared well living in the suburbia and having all of the wonderful things of this life, lost it all and live out of cardboard boxes, wanted to be there? But life broke them down. And every time they would get up, life would kick them back down till they got to the point where it wasn't no sense in getting up again. And the man, listen at this, when no man, and it's kind of funny how your mind just goes back. Now, I was so good to that Negro right there. He won't act like he don't even know me now. You know, oh, she won't act like she all of that, and she ain't nothing there. No, they don't want to have nothing to do with you. You're beneath them now. Because you ain't got nothing. Don't be no fool. You know, everybody wants you because you got something. Yeah. But you got to be careful how you let sin manipulate you. And so there he was. He talked to himself because there was no one to talk to. And there he came to himself. You see, he had come to himself because he was allowed to remember where he came from. And see, that's what the devil don't want you to do, to remember who you are and remind you of where you come from. The devil don't want you to remember your manners, remember your respect level, remember your training, remember that you know. The devil don't want you to remember the things that made you you. Because if you remember those things, the greater power within will draw you back to those things. And that man in the hog's pen came to himself and said, wait a minute. How many of my father's servants have bread enough to eat and to spare? And I perish with want. Let me just throw out one little quick point for you to remember here. The position he was in, he put himself in. Did you hear what I just said? When you start feeling sorry for yourself, when the devil has beat you, ripped you, kicked you, stripped you down to what you are in, don't forget who put themselves in that position. But if you put yourself in that position, here's a helpful holy hint for you. If you just remember who you really are, if you just remember where you really come from, that's not where you belong. That's where you ended up at. But when you begin to search your soul, search yourself, recognize that you are above your circumstances and your circumstances are not above you, you can rise from that mess and walk away with nothing, knowing that what you're on your way back to is more than what the enemy could ever give to you. And from that moment on, in the hog's pit, when sin wouldn't tell him some things. Why? Because sin never wanted him to return home. Sin wanted him to die where nobody knew where he was. Sin wanted him to be in that place where nobody cared about him. Sin wanted him to feel so sorry for himself and all the mistakes he'd made that he'd give up on himself. But he remembered he was somebody.